My name is Darren Hupke, and this is Pixels and Polygons. Hello, everyone. New week, new episode. This week's episode, we've got a returning guest, and the topic we talk about is a favorite of mine. I asked the question, what is your least favorite game in one of your favorite gaming franchises? So hearing Brian Rigsby's answer from RetroGameBooks.com is fun. Love chatting with Brian all the time, and we had a good conversation here. So hope you all enjoy that. You can find links to his site and his social medias and things down below in the show notes. But otherwise, yeah, it's a fun episode this week. News up front or info up front. It's kind of business as usual. I say that like all the time. It's plugging my stuff. This is the new stuff I'm doing. I've got a Kickstarter going for Beat 'Em Up Volume 1, The Unofficial History of Final Fight. So the book I've been talking about here for the last couple of weeks, finished up all of the production and process part of it, and it's kind of ready to go. I've had a printer's proof of it for a couple of weeks now, but that is live on Kickstarter and funding. So if you are interested, you can get yourself a copy. There's like a standard soft cover and hard cover, and then there's a limited tier that will include like all of the extras I'm making. It actually was like fully funded in like 4 hours. So it's all just, like the funding now is just basically locking down your copy and helping kind of, juice up the rest of like the add-ons and everything. So I've been able to produce, the sticker, a bookmark. We're going to do an art print, and, I just recently posted, like the enamel pin, from like a screenshot from the original Final Fight. So there's a bunch of cool add-ons you can get with the book, if you'd like, all in like one tier. You can choose to add on that if you just get like the basic book, any of the add-ons, if you just choose the basic book options, but that's on Kickstarter now. So please check that out. Even if you're not a Final Fight fan, but you're looking to support me, you could always like share the link on social media and share it with your friends. Like that is, a big way to kind of help get in front of other folks and promote the project without having to financially contribute to it if you can't, or are not interested. But, yeah, I'm working on the next issue of Retro Game Zine. Retro Game Zine issue 1 is on my website, pixelsandpolygons.net. You can also find like digital copies of it in my 32-bit library books on my Patreon page. So the digital copy is like $3 and you get like the PDF for that. But the physical copies I have, you can have them shipped to you. It's on pixelsandpolygons.net. That's out. I'm working on issue 3 of that now, which will be focused on Final Fantasy XI, the online Final Fantasy entry that I was obsessed with for a couple years. I've also got, that'll be the first issue that I have, contributors to it. And I just have been talking with somebody who like as a kid, like reading old video game magazines and everything, it's cool to be able to like connect with some of these folks and, like have them contribute and work alongside them now from being just a fan of stuff. So, like little Darren, is that like a bucket list thing kind of knocked out here? So this will be a fun issue as it comes together. But otherwise, yeah, it's the same stuff. Patreon there for writing and the postcard of the month, the Retro Game Zine stuff in production, Beat 'Em Up Volume 1 coming to a close and being funded now, and then shifting gears and getting back into 32-bit Library Volume 5, which will be like the greatest hits book. So That's it. I'm doing a lot, it sounds like, and the podcast every week. So thank you all for your support, big or small, listening, sharing, talking, connecting, buying, reading, whatever it is that you're doing. Thank you a bunch. For now, enjoy the episode with Brian and check out his books and go to retrogamebooks.com to see what he's been cooking, because those are also fantastic projects. So enjoy the episode and we'll see you all next week. Bye. All right. Welcome to a new episode of the show. We've got, I want to say, fan favorite guest. I've gotten like droves of emails about the Brian episodes. Actually, never mind. I've not received a single email about the show, but I'm assuming people have them in their drafts and outbox ready to go because they love when Brian Rigsby is on the show. So welcome to another episode, Brian.
Well, thanks for having me. Don't forget to check your spam.
Yeah, oh, could be there. You're right. Yeah, I should definitely take a look. They're probably all living there. We have a fun question that will get into the main bulk of the episode. But before we do that, just wanted to kind of chat about some other things. On social media, obviously, we follow along with each other's updates and whatnot. But I know you've been recently playing some backlogged like PlayStation games. So can you tell me a little bit about where that drive came from and maybe some of the recent games that you've played and finished or are currently playing? But yeah, what's that PlayStation backlog looking like?
Yeah, I think a lot of it has to do with going through certain backlog in terms of just like when things were introduced. So like, you know, going through the 8-bit era and just like kind of working my way back up. I experienced these things in real time, but, you know, we didn't have time to do it all, right? So I'm trying to pick up the ones that I missed that are worthwhile, like, you know, finally playing through Mega Man 3, those kind of things. So moving into, you know, the original PlayStation, that's one I didn't have at all. So it was something where, you know, I had the PS2, as most people did. It's crazy popular. Was able to play some games, you know, it being backwards compatible in you know, real time back then, but didn't have access to all the things that I wanted. So I amassed a small but mighty collection of things that I do plan to go through all of them. So currently going with Parasite Eve, we're going to go through, let's see, we got like Strider 2, Vagrant Story, Alundra, and Grandia are on my backlog. I did play, you know, Resident Evil, Final Fantasy 7, 8, 9, etc. Those big games. But yeah, I just missed out on the ones I mentioned, and having fun with Eve right now.
Yeah, the as a younger gamer, I was playing through that, and I don't know if I was trying to conserve memory card space or I just didn't like train myself into just like proper smart gaming. But I didn't have like multiple save files or at least keep a few different ones that I cycle through in case something happened. I just had one single save file, and I got to a point maybe halfway through the game or just kind of in the middle of it where I was at a boss fight, but like my save point was like right before the boss fight and I couldn't leave where I was at to necessarily get more ammo and things. And so I was kind of like, unless I did some kind of like flawless, perfect thing or like run against him, like I was stuck. And so like I never got to really advance past there from my time as a younger player. I did go back and replay it again for the last book that I did. But yeah, that was one that I really enjoyed, but just really hated that I was just stuck on like that when I was younger. So now multiple save files it is. If you got multiple slots, I will constantly just save in the next one down. And then once I get to the bottom, start overriding it from the top. So at least I have a few different spaces that I can go back to if I need to in case of emergency. The Strider, actually, I think there was a misprint with that. So I think the Strider 2 disc is actually the arcade Strider 1 game. And then the Strider 1 bonus disc is actually the Strider 2 like original game for it. So if you haven't popped those in yet, I don't know if every copy was a misprint or maybe it was just like the first print or first runs of it or something it was, but I'm pretty sure if my memory serves correctly, there was a misprint of the discs on that game. So something to look forward to.
I haven't yet, but I'll let you know. I really should verify, because you know, when you pick up these things, especially discs, you want to make sure they're functional. So I probably should do that ASAP. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. I love that arcade game, by the way. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was just, there was something about like the way the character would have this, like these graceful acrobatics and this floatiness, and the way the sword was more of like the blurry motion of the sword than the sword itself. And it had mm-hmm. that anime quality to it, you know, sticking to the walls or the ceilings and things like that. And the, you know, the enemy types and, you know, the interesting pixel art. It was kind of like unlike anything at the time. So never really got into the NES version. Just didn't really have a chance. But yeah, I mean, I heard good things about this one. So the PlayStation one. So definitely looking forward to it.
Yeah, I love the art style of that PlayStation one, the new one, or that Strider 2. I could just say Strider 2. Yeah, it's not new because it's 30 years old, but it's new compared to Strider 1. And yeah, but yeah, that art style is super rad. There's like some of the loading screens that you see. It's got almost like this like hand-painted-y, watercolor-y look, but this really cool, like still like kind of loose penciled anime quality to it. Like, I don't know. I would absolutely buy a comic book about anything with that type of art in it and everything. So I find it kind of super rad. So when you get to it, yeah, let me know what you think of it. Cool. Well, let's jump into the icebreaker. Let's see if we can get you to stumble through an answer here and catch you off guard. I asked this one actually semi-recently, and I do like this too. So let's see what you think your answer would be. If you had to compete in one of the major fighting game tournaments, like the Mortal Kombat tournament for the Earthrealm, or the King of Iron Fist tournament for Tekken, or the World Street Fighter, I mean, you don't know what that tournament's called, but the Street Fighter competition, any fighting game tournament from any game's history, which one would you want to compete in? And after that, where would your stage location be for your fight when you get to your level?
Now, just to confirm, are we saying this is really happening, or just where this is just a tournament, as in an arcade tournament?
I mean, yeah, let's say if it's really happening. Yeah, like you had to pick to fight in one of these tournaments. Which one would you want to risk it all and jump in and do? Now, it doesn't have to be any of the major ones. It could be an obscure one. You can say Clay Fighters or Time Killers or something really like dumb and bizarre. But yeah, like which fighting game do you think you'd want to throw your hat in the ring? And then where would your stage location be?
Well, it's funny because, you know, you mentioned Mortal Kombat and Street Fighter, of course, which are like the first two that come to mind. Although I will say, now that you mentioned it's real, I will definitely not pick MK because the consequences are you lose just one match. You're basically done. You're toast. Mm-hmm. So sure, the stakes are higher. It's more noble, et cetera. But, you know, I'm not taking that risk. I'm not that risky of a, I'm not that much of a risk taker. So I'll go with Street Fighter, like, you know, like, I don't know, like early Street Fighter 2 era. It seems like everyone's getting beat up, but it's not so bad. It's just about mostly being the best, mm-hmm. you know, like, you know, it's a little less about like, you know, the Bison world domination type stuff hasn't really sunk in yet. So if I stick with the original one, I'll go with that. As far as location goes, that's a good one. I mean, I live in San Francisco. I've lived here for 18-ish years. I think I'd probably go with something like that, you know, maybe like on the beach with the Golden Gate in the background. There's some pretty cool views there. You maybe have some like whales moving by and things like that. Things happen in the water. I think that'd be a good one.
Yeah, you can have some alternate stage with like some fog or in the evening or something like that, you know, to kind of offset it.
Ooh, that early morning fog would be great.
Yeah, that, I could see that being a good stage. Yeah, and early like the Street Fighter 2 or that early Street Fighter era, like I think that makes sense too. I think as a safe bet, I personally would probably agree, because when you'd beat your opponent, you'd see like their little sad portrait afterwards that was like slightly bruised or whatever. But like, it was more of like the ego or pride was hurt. Like, sure, they got some bumps and bruises, but yeah, it wasn't Mortal Kombat. You didn't lose your body or weren't impaled on spikes or anything. So I think that's a safe choice and probably the appropriate choice if you were forced to combat in a fighting game tournament.
Yeah, exactly. Actually, yeah. Broken nose over torso removal.
Seems I have like these a things to grab. I'm going to physically grab something real quick off my shelf. Pause the show.
Okay.
It's not really paused. Here we go. On my bookshelf here in my room, I have these little they're the oh, it's gonna be blurry, isn't it? Okay, you're not really gonna be able to tell what that
is. I can tell it's Guile though.
Yeah, oh, yeah. It's like the it is those continue screens with like every one of the fighters like beat up and sad and everything, but just like in like a little 3D diorama looking shape. But I have the entire original Street Fighter 2 cast, and I don't know why. Well, I guess I bought them because they're cool, but I just never knew really know where to put them and everything. So luckily I have this, you know, my shelf with my gaming books and retro games and all that stuff. So it fits perfectly on one of those shelves right in front of some jewel cases. Nice. But yeah, that's just cool. Get to look at those sad, bloody faces, you know, not dead, just sad. Cool. Well, let's move along then into the prime question. The reason we came here, I've modified this because I'm assuming we can answer these questions multiple, the same questions over multiple times as the show continues on. But what is your least favorite game in one of your favorite franchises? It doesn't have to outright be your favorite, but yeah. What is your least favorite game in one of your favorite franchises? That's the question I'd like to ask you and posit to you, and let's hear what you got here.
Yeah, so one of my favorites is Resident Evil. This is one of those series where I feel like a lot of the formula is this tug of war between the dark horror, actual, sometimes scary elements, and then like the cheesy action movie, like the campiness, which fits into horror also, you know, depending on like how you look at it. I feel like they're often kind of tug of warring with these things. You know, sometimes, you know, having something dark and scary, you want to add a little bit of humor to kind of break up the tension, you know, as you would in a film. That makes sense. But when I say like cheesy, I mean like really cheesy. Like sometimes it goes really far down that pathway. And so for me, I've always appreciated the former, like the actual darker horror elements more than the latter of like the cheesiness. And some of these games are like 90-10 or 50-50, like kind of depending on like what they're kind of going for at the time. And so with Resident Evil 6, that was one where I felt like it went too far into the campiness. And like, I think this game gets criticized more so because of like, you know, just the way it plays, maybe the way it looks in some places, the level design, like all the, you know, the classic elements that we tend to criticize games for. But while I agree, like a lot of those things don't work very well, it's actually like just kind of the cheesiness of it. Like I feel like I'm watching like a B movie for the similar reasons why these like Resident Evil movies and animated movies don't tend to quite click, right? They try to get a little too silly for my personal taste. This is also one where I gave it a fair shot. I played it through with a character. They had this interesting, innovative, semi-innovative system where you can kind of play through as different characters and see how they kind of cross paths. Conceptually, I think that's a really great idea. Like, I appreciate the approach they took. So I played all the way through, and then I started another character. I don't remember if I finished it with the second one, but I wanted to see how they kind of interacted and if that would, like, fill in gaps and make me appreciate it more, and it kind of didn't. Again, I appreciate it, but it didn't really work. It kind of felt like I was playing like an arcade game, to be honest, where it was like, look, you're in the helicopter and it's spinning and it's going to crash. And it's like, quick, shoot these things. Whereas when I played the ones that I really like, it's like kind of taking your time. You're inching your way along. You're looking for hidden objects and items. You're figuring out how they piece together. You're puzzling. You're doing a little bit of a Metroidvania kind of movement back and forth, less linear. Whereas this is just like, this is action. This is high octane, but not the best version of that, right? So if you're going to do that, I want to see the best version of it. And it was not it. Story, writing, you know, dialogue, a little cheesy for my taste. That fits into the campiness of it all. So it just didn't work. And I mean, I don't think I'm alone here, right? This is one that I think is pretty low on the list and probably the reason why 7 was so excellent, because people wanted a change in the franchise, and that's what happens, right? Like, people react to the previous version, and they either double down, like they did when they went from 4 to 5, even though 5 didn't carry the success of 4, but they tried to recapture that magic. But then in this case, 6 to 7, you say, ah, no, let's change the perspective. Let's make it ultra realistic. Let's make it incredibly scary. And I feel like it, just for me, it worked incredibly well when we moved to 7. So I think 6 for moving us to 7, I guess is what I'll say.
Yeah. Yeah. The Resident Evil, like, order or timeline or whatever, maybe I always found it interesting. 1, 2, and 3, you know, feel very similar in mechanics and gameplay and everything. And then 4 is where it reinvented itself. And then you had 4, 5, and 6 that kind of were taking that slightly action oriented approach, but finding that balance, you know, and they ebbed and flowed there. And then you had 7, you again, reinvent itself with 7, 8, and where likely you'd hope that 9 would maybe be like the end of this little mini trilogy for that style of gameplay before it reinvents itself. But of course you have things like Code Veronica and other things happening that, you know, kind of, you know, change that because they kind of lived in kind of parallel or both worlds, you know, of like design and whatnot. But I personally loved 5, and I maybe liked 5 more than I liked 4, which is maybe sacrilegious to say. But I liked the co-op aspect of it. Like, to me, like, that was, you know, just a couple years maybe after, and like in that same generation with like Gears of War and stuff. And so, like, even a mediocre game with co-op, like, brings some joy or brings some entertainment being able to play it online with people and everything. So going through 5 and having the ability to like play with a friend and experience all of that, I thought was really rad. And I really enjoyed it. And then when 6 came along, I never picked it up. I never bought it, never even picked it up after the fact and like used for the cheap or anything like that at all. And I figured I would be one of the ones who might actually be a small defender of it or find like the silver lining within it and everything. But I just completely just outright skipped it and everything. But I did jump back on board with 7, and I got to, that game ends at like, on like a boat, right? Don't you go out in like that mysterious mm-hmm. like ship?
They love going on boats in this series.
Yeah. I mean, 5, technically you have that boat at the ending and everything. And that's where peak silliness comes into play too, where, you know, as Chris, you have to mash A to punch that rock and everything at the end, which is just like ultimate, like, wait, what are we doing here, y'all? Okay.
I mean, he's taken all that protein powder. He wants to let you know what it's
he
for.
He did bulk up. It was bulking season, and he bulked up big time over his last appearance. But yeah, the Resident Evil 7, getting to that ship, I made it all the way to the end and like played like a flashback on there. And I was getting pretty far in it. I was playing through with one of my friends, and we primarily were playing it in VR. And I thought, like, I don't know, as I've gotten older, horror games, like, while I used to love them when I was younger, like Silent Hill 2 and like all these things, I played no problem. Even up to like Dead Space and stuff. Like I was into like horror games, and I even did like Dead Space with just the plasma cutter for that achievement and trophy and everything. But now, like, I just get this anxiety, like I just get too nervous, and like I just like there's like a dread that just kind of weighs me down. I just can't play it. And so my logic to fix that was like, oh, well, in VR, I can like lean my head around and make sure I'm looking around corners and I feel slightly safer. But it made it worse. It just like was too immersive and like just being like a dark, like danky, like, you know, area and everything. So I primarily was like watching my friend play it. And something happened where I ended up, he like, we just didn't get back together to like finish out that last chunk of it. And I wasn't going to go through it solo. So I made it like right to the end, but didn't quite finish it and everything. So yeah, 8, I just knew I wasn't going to be able to do. So I didn't even try and start it. But I watched some streamers on Twitch play it a little bit just to kind of see that story and everything. Cause yeah, I've always loved the Resident Evil like universe and Resident Evil world for good or bad. And I don't want to like not experience it, but like, when it gets to, if it's getting back into the horror, like it just makes it difficult for me to personally enjoy it now, just because I'm just a weaker man, I guess.
Yeah, I have not been doing enough to do the VR. I'm sure it's terrifying. I still remember playing the demo for 7. And it like, there was like a point that like physically made me jump. So I can only imagine when you have those, you know, have that on your face, how it would make you feel. I haven't jumped like I hadn't jumped like that, in a long time, you know, since I was a kid. And since then, the only thing that's made me jump is the Silent Hill 2 remake. There's some jump scares in that like actually got me. And I feel like I'm very steady, but it got me good.
That's not good to hear. Cause that's one that I also think like,
oh, but that's what I love.
That's one I want to like, I just convince myself like, no, you can play through these games. They're not all so bad. Like you loved Silent Hill 2 when you were younger, like go back, Darren. But I just know that's going to be just creepy and it good. I'm sure it's great.
They're very, very creepy.
man, I really want to play that though. Yeah. That, I remember PT when that demo came out for that last, what mm-hmm. should have been that last version of Silent Hill, like just playing it in the dark with a couple of, I tried to convince my wife, and I think my friend and his girlfriend were over. And so four of us were all there, and it was like, hey, who wants to hold the controller and kind of go through this? And I was like, I don't want to do it. I'll let you try it, you know, trying to like just encourage somebody else to play. But in reality, I just didn't want to turn the corner and see something weird or get like caught up in something strange. But that was such a rad experience too. But yeah. So Resident Evil 6 will be is what you consider your least favorite. Have you considered or tried, I mean, obviously they're not main or canon necessarily, but have you played things like Resident Evil Survivor or that, like the Game Boy Color, wasn't there Resident Evil Gaiden? Was that officially released or was that canceled?
So to be fair, like I tried to leave the non-mainline games out of this. Like I've played just, I think all of them, like, Survivor, Outbreak, which was in 1 and 2, which were actually extremely promising. They just didn't deliver. There was also Dead Aim, I think they were called. Yeah, the PS2. 2 where you actually, like, I had like the black gun for it with the little like D-pad that you would, you know, fiddle with, like, where like the hammer would be on a gun. Interesting games, like, it's just, they don't really deliver, you know. Mm-hmm. It's like, sure, maybe you could be more, you could criticize those more. Gaiden, I actually kind of enjoyed because, like, I was just playing through a bunch of like Game Boy games, and it was different enough where it was like, it's almost like a, you know, like the sliders moving left and right. Can you rhythmically time, like when you press the button to like do certain hits? So at least mm-hmm. it was like different. It was something different. Very simple mechanic, but, you know, navigating through like the world and, it having like an old school look, I actually enjoyed it. I thought it was one of the better spinoffs. Of course, like Code Veronica, if you consider that a spinoff, I guess it technically is, like, that's the best of all of them. That's the one I would like to see remade if they're going to do another remake, because I want to revisit it again. I'm always in this mode of like, should I wait? Are they ever going to do it? Should I revisit it that way? If I play, you know, like, will they, won't they? I don't know. I think they should.
Yeah, I had that on my Dreamcast when I had it back in the day. And then I remember buying it all over again on PS2 when they re-released it a couple of years later, because it included that Devil May Cry demo inside of that. And so Devil May Cry was once like Resident Evil 4, and then Code Veronica was once Resident Evil 3 before it was like kind of rebranded and renamed and everything too. So they always have those interesting history with their games and Capcom's handling of them. Yeah, that's cool. There was something else I think I wanted to touch on with Resident Evil as we were discussing that. But maybe it'll just be a thought for another day. Getting really forgetful today. Yeah, I don't know what it was. Oh, well. Anything you'd like to plug or share before we wrap then on the episode, Brian?
Sure. You can find me on most social at Retro Gamebooks. Obviously, you know, retrogamebooks.com if you want to check out the products, or sign up for the mailing list to be the first to know about restocks and new releases. You can see, you know, things like our video game map series, Pixel Art Metroid, History of Rygar, and more books coming soon. We're going to have some notebooks as well, like some standalone notebooks that were, you know, tie-ins before with bundles, but we're going to have a bunch of different notebooks. We have a book by Nadia Oxford that's currently being written. It's really far along. It's going to enter the editing phase pretty soon, so you'll see that next year, plus another secret to be announced book next year as well. And then if you're international, not in the US, we are carried by a shop in Australia and a shop in France. Just not everything, but a lot of our books are in both those places, so you can find those. And then there's a few brick and mortar physical stores will start to pop up in the US soon. We have some orders coming in for that. But yeah, really excited about Nadia's new book. It's going to be a lot of like personal stories intertwined with different retro games that she experienced and kind of how they can mix in with her life. For people not totally familiar with her, she's a former games journalist, Retronauts alumni, and she hosts a podcast called Axe of the Blood God, which is an RPG podcast. Pretty cool. So check that out if you're interested in RPGs. But yeah, really excited about all that stuff. And yeah, restocking some more stuff soon too. So you can, if people want their holiday orders, they should have some selections to look at.
Yeah, those are all good things to look forward to. Yeah, I think the news, the mailing list makes sense. Sign up for that for sure, because I am subscribed to that as well. And so you don't spam people's inboxes. It's always just like when it's a big important update to share about like the restocks or new stuff. So it's smart to do it. I'll put that link in the show notes below. To plug a book that I discovered just because of you, actually, but the how would you pronounce it? 2020X Video Game Reflections. You mentioned Nadia's
book. Philip Summers.
Yeah. It makes me think of the way you were describing Nadia's book is like this. It's a cool journal of his time with a bunch of different games that he beat over 2 years with cool artwork and everything. And that's on for sale on his website. But you work with him and on your NES maps, right? He did the cover art for that book. Yeah.
And he did the cover for Nadia's forthcoming book as well.
Oh, rad. Okay, cool. Good to know. Yeah. So he's a seems like a good dude. So plugging his book then, and I like that you have ties on an upcoming project too. So it makes sense then. All comes full circle. Well, yeah. Like I said, I'll have all those details in the show notes below. Actually, one other question then: do you, the pixel art Metroid book? You, since you have been just kind of back at like full steam ahead with because you did the Genesis Mega Drive maps and now you're in the SNES one, and I know you have another one down the pipe too. Would you consider bringing back, or have you had ideas for a pixel art follow-up to not Metroid, but with like another title? Is that something that you have in your brain noodling around?
I mean, the backlog of ideas, as I'm sure is true for you as well, is just massive and it's impossible to do it all. I mean, yes, it was titled pixel art blank, right? For that reason. So it could be a series. I still want to do it sometime. There's a few, you know, I'm toying with in my mind. There has to be enough content and, you know, kind of, you know, desire for that content to do it. But there's plenty of things like that. It's just it's a ton of work to kind of to reach out, connect with all these people. You know, the Metroid one has 125 different artists on top of like, you know, the tutorials and the articles and everything. It's just it's a lot of outreach. It's a lot of discussions to get to happen. But, you know, sometimes these are, you know, it can be smaller. It could be something more niche, but it'll happen eventually.
Yeah, cool. That's good to know. Yeah, I know what that's like currently. I'm trying to put together a little anthology thing. You've contributed a story to it yourself, but having my other projects be essentially all me, I controlled the pace and production and creation of them. So it made it easy when I was in a good groove. I just got a lot of it done. But when you are not able to have the hands on to control when and how it happens and having to coordinate it with folks, it does create a whole different level of involvement there. So good problems to have, but they're just different problems from what I'm used to. Mm-hmm. So
it's not enough time in every day.
Yeah.
The problem.
Yeah. Or if you are in the middle of working on a completely different book about like Final Fight, for example, and then suddenly you get the idea to make a zine about it came from the desert, and then that spawns into a little series thing, and you realize, why did I bite off way more than I can chew right now? But I'm going to keep writing and keep having fun. That's my nightmare, but it's a good nightmare to have. But thanks a lot, Brian. Thanks for joining the show. Then we will, of course, have you on in future episodes for sure.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Have a good one.
Yeah, likewise. Thank you.